This is a spiritual reading being given for Charlotte Swanborough in Victoria, Australia on Saturday the 22nd of April 2023 by John Rawson. We stand, Charlotte, within a vortex. It's whirling. It's full of energy. But the energies are conflicting. They're pulling and pushing. They are like different voices calling out to you. And each voice wants something different for themselves. And what we will do today is we will try and go to the center of the vortex, which is the emotive, stormy state in which you would find yourself at present. We want to go to the center because the center is still. The center doesn't move. The center is the reality of who you are. And I understand that you've got questions about career and travel and finance and family. This is not real. You're asking these questions because you haven't discovered real yet. When you discover real, then all the questions will dissolve away. And that's not to say that I will not give you answers. I certainly shall. But what we will do is we will take you on a journey back to the very beginnings of time. And to do this, we have to enter into the Hall of Memory. And we are given there, it's placed in our hands, the Book of the Soul. Now, the Book of the Soul is a metaphor. It contains the record of all your lives, all your incarnations, since you first came into this physical world. And that's a very long time ago, hundreds of thousands of years. Now, this is as close as we are going to get to the purity of your soul and the purity of your soul's intent. Because when your soul came into incarnation, it came in with certain what we call gifts and talents that are unique to your soul. No other soul has them. And over many thousands and thousands of years, this uniqueness will be gathered together when the individuality, the I am, the real self, whatever you want to call it, is implanted within you. The real self starts to gather these gifts and talents, these uniquenesses that make you Charlotte. Now, we have some clues to these original gifts and talents. And the first clue lies in the cover of the Book of the Soul, because as I hold it at present, it's closed. It's placed into my hands, it's closed. And I look at the cover, and the first thing that strikes me is that it's a beautiful emerald green. Now, this colour indicates that your soul belongs to the, what am I going to call this, the healing angels, the hierarchy of the healing angels. The connection is with the Archangel Raphael. But what it really means is that you come into incarnation to heal. Now, that's a really difficult energy to work with. Because as we incarnate from life to life, although at first we are conscious of this, that we are the healer, gradually that original clarity of consciousness is filled by confusion about who we are, by forgetfulness about who we are. And we lose the clear crystalline light that is at the core of the soul. But we will see, nevertheless, the soul from incarnation to incarnation strive to express this quality in different ways. And there are so many modes of healing. There's working with plants, for example. There's farming. That's a terrible word for it. But there is working with the plant kingdom. There is music. There is art, because music and art, they are healing energies for the planet. And so from life to life, you probably find yourself attracted into one or other of these modalities. But the other quality of the green is that it represents the energy of compassion. Now, compassion is different from love. Love is an opening of the heart to express something towards the world. Compassion is an opening of the heart to receive from the world. And the trouble with compassion, and perhaps this has happened to you in this incarnation, is that you want to love everyone. You don't want to hurt other people. You want to say to everyone, I will love you no matter what. And because your heart is very big, you will try and bring within it many conflicting energies. I see you've asked about your family. Family, children, they're going to argue. They're going to be dysfunctional. Welcome to the world of having a family. Don't worry about it. It's their growth. It's your growth. It doesn't matter if there's stresses and strains within the family. That's good. What matters is how you decide to deal with it. Those stresses, those strains, those conflicts, the little bits of dysfunction, people wanting this and people wanting that, and they're there for you to learn. And our learning is always about one thing, and that's about who the hell am I? That's what you have to discover. That's what life is all about. And up to this point, you haven't discovered that yet. I'm sorry to say that. I know you're coming to the age of 50. And that, by the way, is an extremely significant point in life. We'll come to that shortly. So, compassion. When you are very compassionate, you tend to be very sacrificing as well. And even to the point, although I'm sure that's not happened here, but even to the point of what some clever person called a messiah complex, where you preference the needs of other people over your own needs. So when you have that colour, when you have the green, it's very hard to find out what your needs are because you're so open to the needs of others. But the reason that you would find yourself in what I perceive as this reddish-brown vortex, which is a lot of emotions, a lot of anxiety, a lot of worry, going around you and manifesting in different ways in your environment, is because you haven't discovered yet who you really are, what it is you need from life. You've been very busy giving to others and assisting others. But now, you have to ask yourself the question, what do I need? Not in terms of someone else, not in terms of your family, not in terms of your career, not in terms of your partner, your relationships, not in terms of anything. Just stand still and ask yourself, what do I need? Let's go back to the Book of the Soul. The second aspect of the Book of the Soul is that it has a name written across the top. And I will translate this name as the Healer of Souls, and that's sort of an approximation. If you come back to me in 7 years' time or something for another reading, assuming, of course, I'm still alive, then I may well change the name slightly because you will have changed. But this is what the soul wishes you to understand, that you are a healer. And this will emanate from you. You will find that you try your damnedest to bring peace to everyone around you. You wish the best for other people. You want to stop them from being hurt. You want to almost save them from themselves sometimes. But that's actually not the way it's supposed to work. Sometimes people are supposed to go through difficult experiences. Sometimes people are supposed to experience pain. Sometimes people are supposed to endure what seems to the observer the unendurable. We don't have to look far around the world to see it all happening. And yet, there is a purpose to everything that any soul ever suffers. And that's to bring the soul to a point of clarity so that they can see an aspect of self which needs to be healed. And if they are allowed to experience pain, our teacher Reverend Mario used to say that pain is truth. If we allow ourselves and others to experience pain and not try to prevent it from happening to them, let people experience the consequences of their actions. If we allow this to happen, then the soul comes into a place, a space, where it is open to healing, and then real healing can enter in. And healing comes from a word that also means wholeness. And the soul becomes a little more whole, because our souls are not whole. They are little patchworks of identities, if you like. And each life we try and integrate this patchwork. We try and take out the stitches between the patches. We try and bring things together so that we can become closer to who we really are. And the last aspect of the Book of the Soul, which I'm sure will be different if you ever come back to me for a reading, but it's a mounted knight on a horse in armour. That's the knight is in armour on a horse, riding with a lance, riding into battle. And what that means is that you have put an armour over yourself, over your soul, and that you have protected yourself, and that you are going out to try and resolve problems. But the thing is that we actually don't resolve problems by going out. And I know that's the conventional wisdom. If you're having financial problems, make more money. If you're having career problems, try harder. If you've got problems with people around you, be nice to them, resolve the problems. Forget all that. Stop. If you have problems with people around you, in a career sense, that's their problem, it's not your problem. Okay, don't make their problems your problem. Don't make their reactions your reaction. Come to that point of stillness within self, where you can allow another person to be angry, to be cruel perhaps, to mock you, to be critical. Allow them that. Don't take it on to yourself, because that's not who you are. Your work is justification in itself. It's the work that's important. Not just in your career, but that's the whole reason we come into incarnation, to do the work. And the whole of life is nothing more than doing the work, step by step. Stitch by stitch, we sew the tapestry of our life. And sometimes we have to go back and unpick a few stitches. And that may be where you're at this point in time. So let us move on into and open the book of the soul to this incarnation. And the soul depicts itself in terms of the energies it's chosen to work with in this incarnation, and that shows it on the right-hand page, so to speak, and it shows it to me as a portrait of colour, and the colours are the colours of the aura. But the colours of the aura may well change from time to time. Usually the first two colours don't change unless the person's gone through a particularly painful time and period of re-evaluation in the life. So let's begin with that. The first colour, what we might call the etheric colour, is light red. Now that puts a stamp on your gifts and talents in this life. Because light red is the colour of life. It represents someone who should be bubbly, happy, effervescent, outrageous, going out into life with unremitting courage and irreverence. You look very serious in that photo you sent me. I'm wondering when the last time was you had a really great laugh, when you really enjoyed yourself. Because when you've got light red, you've got to give yourself permission to enjoy life, to be sensual, to enjoy beautiful food, beautiful drink, beautiful home, beautiful sex, whatever you find uplifting and energy releasing. It's as though you feel that you're being pressed in and you're not being able to be yourself. Light red cannot allow that. You'll die if you don't be yourself. The second colour, browns. Now the browns in the aura represent the practicalities of the world. This is where life surrounds us with things that we have to do. We have to make a living. We can't be thrown out on the street. We have to make a living. Therefore, we've got to find work. Preferably, we would find a career. And a career is, of course, different from work. A career is our self-expression within the world. And at the moment, I can see that your self-expression within the world is undergoing a huge questioning. And that's, by the way, will last this year and next year. But it should be improving. Earlier, probably last month actually, within a month or so, there must have been a point, I think, when you really had to ask yourself, am I doing the right thing with this job, with this work? Is it working for me? Good questions. Questions are more potent than answers, because questions open up spirit, open up lines of communication to spirit. to the soul, to the self, the real self. So good to question. And you will find this is a huge sorting out period, a re-evaluation period, a reassessment of boundaries within your, especially your working life, your career life. And you have to ask yourself the hard questions. Do I need to put up with what I'm experiencing? Can I work my way through it? And I can tell you that the whole thing will probably work its way through in a year and a half's time, say into 2025. This sorting out period will be finished. But in the meantime, it's hard. It's the work. You have to do the work. So that's what the Browns represent. Money. We need money. We need food. We'll die without them. And so the Browns and the configurations remind me of my father, who used to say, when I was very airy-fairy and wanted to dedicate my life to art, he would say, "John, life is hard. Life is earnest. Life is painful." And that's what the Browns say. My poor father, I think, had to deal a lot with the Browns in his life. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. It's really good that we should be grounded. And you've got Browns around the feet, and also Browns around the hands, which Browns around the feet mean that you are quite capable of deciding on your direction in life and putting one foot forward after the other and walking towards it. But you need goals. In fact, that's what this period is about. And don't be too hasty about making judgments about your career and whether you're going to go or stay in the situation that you're in. Everything will work out, but you need to allow it to work out. You need to allow time to do its thing. And the purpose of time is to give us experience. And the purpose of experience is to show us something about ourselves. So in about a year and a half, this difficulty stuff with the career is going to be over, and I expect that at the moment too you're probably experiencing a lot of difficulty in terms of financial situation, or at least that's a bit up in the air. And I know you've asked me about Ross. Unfortunately, I'm doing a reading for Charlotte. If Ross wants to know about Ross, he's got to have his own reading. One cannot inquire into the purposes and dynamics of another soul. We have to allow them their privacy, if you understand that. Ross's life, Ross's journey, is to do with Ross. And you may say, but he's my partner, or he's my husband, or he's my spouse, or he's my lover, he's the love of my life, etc., etc., etc. But you are then defining him in terms of you. Whereas Ross can only be defined in terms of Ross. Charlotte can only be defined in terms of Charlotte. Not in terms of Ross. Not in terms of being a partner, a wife, a mother. No, these are all just illusions. Of course, I'm in my 70s, so it's easy for me to say to you all these things are illusions. But when compared to the reality, the real, they are illusions. They come, they go. They pass before us, they fade away. Deal with what comes towards you. Deal with it from the most real part of you. Deal with it through thinking. Deal with it through listening to your heart, which is different from listening to the head. The head tends to be very bound up in arithmetic and logistics and balancing things up. The heart doesn't know anything about that. The heart knows what the heart knows. And our spiritual journey begins at the heart. When the heart gradually becomes free and powerful, then it radiates a light into your world, which will change your world. There won't be darkness, confusion, fog, misunderstanding and so on anymore. There will be a clear light. The third colour, dark blues, indicating that you must feel quite restricted and constricted at the moment. You must feel quite frustrated, as though you want to beat on the walls of a cage or the bars of a cage and force them to open. But blue is also the colour of time. And blue is an unstructured colour in that it's very hard to deal with the restrictions expressed here because they are so tied up in everything that we have committed to within life. It seems as though these restrictions are our life. That is all that we can experience in life. Then around the outer aura, there are clouds of light rose, which indicates incredible sensitivity. And this is a difficult energy to work with because the sensitivity makes you very open to the vibrations, if I can use that word, the energies of other souls around you, so that you tend to take on their problems, you tend to take on their negativities, you tend to take on their situations. And I've already said to you, don't do that. Allow them to experience their pain. That's not to say that you can't sympathize with someone, and sympathy means to feel with another person, so you can do that, but don't feel on their behalf. Allow them to experience their experiences. From the shoulders, greens. The greens are quite dark, which makes me wonder whether they're being expressed. The greens are to do with healing, but they're also to do with art, with music, with images, with painting. And I don't know whether you're involved in any of these things, but I would think that it would be of great assistance to your journey through life to have some Charlotte time where you express these qualities that uplift you, because the greens from the shoulders represent the wings. One day, if we make it that far, we'll be angels. We will evolve into angels. That might be a million years away, but perhaps we'll get there one day. And our wings will have these beautiful colours in them, so that you will be an angel with green wings, which will place you in contact with Archangel Raphael, the angel of healing. And so you should have some time where you connect yourself with healing energies. That might be something as simple as doing some yoga, some meditation. It might be working in the garden. It might be using your voice, speaking, singing, learning a musical instrument. It might be, and here I think would be really good, painting, creating visual art. I see you had an incarnation, where was this? Oh, in the 15th century in Italy, Renaissance Italy. And you were in a male body, So you painted well, interestingly enough, you didn't, I'm not quite sure how this worked, but you created beautiful stained glass windows and mosaics, and you were creator of beauty working with light. So perhaps in this incarnation, you might find a way to work with light again in some way, shape, size, or form. You should have a great sense of color and feeling for what colors mean and indicate. You should have color in your life. You are a colorful person. Don't be a beige person. Be one full of color and vibrancy and life force, life energy. Bring some unexpected things into your life. Bring some spontaneity into your life. Break out of established patterns. Do something just because you feel like it. Do something for fun. When was the last time you did something just because you wanted to have a good time? Hopefully recently. But make sure that's part of your life. Light up the greens. And it's possible in the future, because you've also had lives as a more conventional healer, you see, life in the United States in the 19th century, where you were a doctor, I can see you, I think you were lived in Boston, and this would be probably the second half of the 19th century. Again, in a male body, and I can see you with your little black bag going around, and your practice was in the poorer parts of the city. Yes, your practice was in the poorer parts of the city, and you were very big on donating your time and your service to people for nothing. And the reason that you felt impelled to give so much in that life was that you had a life in the 11th century in Rome, again in a male body, and here you were a cardinal, a very powerful person in the Catholic Church. And you collected art in this incarnation. You were addicted to art. Beautiful, not just paintings, murals, statues. And you would commission beautifully illustrated books. Spent a lot of the church's money on that, as it happened. So that was why you felt impelled in the doctor incarnation not to charge people anything. And perhaps when we've spent other people's money, then in this incarnation we can tend to find finances a bit of a struggle. But the good news is that all that karma has come to an end. Come back to that in a moment. In the head, yellow browns, and the vortex is orange. Now, the yellow browns in the head mean that there's a lot of practical stuff going on in your life, real nitty-gritty basic stuff. Have I got enough money? Am I going to pay the mortgage? Am I going to pay for the kids' school trips? Lots and lots of stuff going on, a lot of financial worry, although that's not as big as the personal direction worry, I would say. But something new is coming into consciousness over the next 7 years, and that's represented by the orange. Now, it's wonderful, spiritually speaking, that you have reached the age of 49, because that represents the completion of karma. And that will happen for you, the completion of will happen at the end of your 49th year at your 50th birthday. So from there on, you no longer are repaying all the karmic debts that you were trying to balance up until this point. That doesn't mean that karma has ended. Unfortunately, no. But I would like you to think of it like this. Before you come into incarnation, you meet with the Lord of Karma, the soul meets with the Lord of Karma. And if you are sufficiently evolved, as you should be by now, you're a priest after all, you have your own list of things that you take to the Lord of Karma. Now, if you've not reached that stage, then the Lord of Karma gives you a list and says, oh, off you go. But if you have reached a certain stage in your evolution, you get to choose what karmic debts you would like to bring into balance. So you take this to the Lord of Karma. Lord of Karma looks down and says, oh, that's good, Charlotte. Yes, you're going to meet this person in your life. Yep, you're going to fix up what you did to them in Rome when they were your slave. You'll probably have to put up with a lot of their stuff in this incarnation, but that's okay. That'll balance out. And down here, are you going to have been a mother to this person, that soul? That's good, because they looked after you and such and such an incarnation, and the other incarnation, the one that you had in Carthage about 160 BC, where you fought in the army of Hannibal and you were killed in northern Italy, and were looked after by this person. You're going to balance all this karma off. And you've had incarnations where you were able to express yourself artistically and your gifts. So we're going to make it a bit harder for you this time around. We're going to put you in a situation where it's more difficult to express yourself, because, Charlotte, we want you to express yourself on a deeper level this time. We want you to again become the healer of souls. So you get this list of things. Some are there from you, some are there from the Lord of Karma. And it's a negotiation. And you have a time period where the items on this list, and let's hope there aren't too many, they will be worked out, encountered, and brought into balance. And that process starts about the age of 30 and finishes at the age of 50. So the last 20 years, huge karmic expression within the life. Everything, virtually everything that happens here is a result of karma. Including, by the way, ordination. And hold on to that. The meaning of that ordination has not been opened up to you yet, but it will be in this incarnation, because you are entering a period of revelation. Once you get to the age of 50, it's not a sudden cut-off point. There is a transition period. So you will find the next 7 years, which takes you about the age of 56, 57, and 58, so it's more like 9 years. This is a gradual releasing, letting go of the past. And sometimes this will occur in a very sudden separation dynamic, and you may experience this particularly in the next 2 years, that there are certain events that will come into your life, perhaps to do with your home, yourself, partnerships within your life. These will be subjected between about the next 2 to 3 years, a period where they'll be really tested, and you will feel strongly the need to assert yourself as an individual, to be more focused on yourself. And it's like going through fire. At the very few of us come out unburned, but at least we emerge at the other end purified, refined. Incarnation in the early part of the 19th century as a nun in a convent in the south of France, and here you weren't so good at upholding your vows as I perceive it, and you had at least one abortion secretly, of course, so that you could continue to be a nun. You were very fond of children in that life, and since you couldn't have any of your own, you spent a lot of time in the orphanage that was run by the sisters. And that had a tragic end because the orphanage burned down, and you barely escaped. Got badly burnt, and you actually died later as a result of the burns. And because of that, the sacrifice that you made in that incarnation for the children should be part of your life in this incarnation, and that you should experience the love of children and the love of a family, and that will deepen and deepen as you grow older in this life. We don't at present see influencing colours, which simply means that you're being left for a period by the spiritual worlds to stand upon your own feet, and when you make certain decisions, then the spiritual worlds will move towards assisting you to fulfill those decisions. We don't see significant images within the aura at present, which is in some ways a good sign, but it also means that you are still grappling with the karmic energies of the last 20 years, and future paths will become clearer over the next 9 years. That's fine. The symbol of the overself is an eagle in flight, which is a great symbol, by the way. It means that you have the opportunity for the next few years to fly high, if you like, take that in a figurative sense. And it's interesting that you've asked about travel, because travel is one way of expressing this energy. that you need to get away, you need to have perspective, and certainly travel is one way of gaining that. If you travel overseas, perhaps go back to places that your parents or your ancestors came from, then that will give you a much greater sense of perspective on your life here in Australia in 2023. Then there's another meaning. The travel can mean travel on a mental level, a thinking level, and it can be an opportunity coming into your life to increase your thinking levels, your thinking abilities. Sometimes people take this time as a time to undertake study. Not study even in a practical sense, but study more in a higher level educational sense. Sometimes people do university courses, or they become involved in teaching, or they enter into a period where they need to reevaluate their philosophy of life and their understanding of what life is all about. And I think that this rising to a higher level of understanding and observation will come more and more into your life. The vortex that comes into your head represents the energies of Christ. And you had an incarnation in the first century where you were one of the women at the cross, the crucifixion. And there you were a friend of Mary, the mother of Jesus, and there you held her as she watched her son die. And when one is associated with an event that is as powerful as that, then that is stamped upon the soul forever afterwards. And so that there is within you the ability to sacrifice, but also the ability to comfort and to nurture. And I imagine that you'd have great love for your family, children, etc. But you will find over the next 7 to 8 years that some of these souls, they don't need quite that sort of love and protection in that way anymore. They're going to grow up and they're going to become their own person, and that's the way it should be. One would hope that happens. Jesus said that a child starts by being connected to the mother and then leaves the mother and goes on to connect to its partner, whoever that may be. So what we should expect to see, is a transforming of this nurturing, caring energy to a higher level. Sometimes people actually do go and study things like psychology or become therapists or counsellors. But more, I think, for you, it's going to relate to how you bring healing to people on almost an invisible level, that you will find that your priesthood, the seed of the priesthood which was given at ordination, it's going to come into its own in the next 9 years, and you will perceive transformation around you and within you. incarnation in Egypt, I think you were in a female body in this life, worked in the burial workshops of the temple. Again, you were an artist, and you painted the sarcophagi of those who died. So you would go and paint very carefully the hieroglyphs from the Book of the Dead, or the Book of Life, as it was called then. And you would paint little pictures to illustrate the little stories and the charms and the spells that were placed on the sarcophagus. You were really a storyteller, and in this incarnation again you should have the ability to explain things to people, to narrate, to make stories that make sense for other people. The Book of the Soul shows on its left-hand page, I've talked about the right-hand page, which is a depiction of the soul in colour, so to speak. But on the left-hand side, it has a few lines about the purpose of this incarnation. And the title, as we see it, is the healer of souls, and that's very significant because that's the name on the Book of the Soul that represents the energy that flows from life to life, the healer of souls. And the little verse, it's like a verse, has a few lines, and the first line is to express beauty. And that line, to express beauty, means that in the first part of your life you needed to express the idea of beauty, whatever that would mean to you, whether it would mean that you express yourself in a beautiful body, which was given to you for this incarnation, or whether it meant that you should express beauty in terms of art or in terms of creativity. But to express beauty, that's the first line. And the second line reads, to open compassion. So the second reason that you came into incarnation was to open the heart through compassion. It's interesting that you had an incarnation about the 4th century before Christ as a Buddhist nun. And you studied the teachings of the Buddha, but you took it in a very literal sense, so that you created a life of rules and regulations and of practical observance and of ritual, of prayer, ritual prayer, ritual actions, and your life became scaffolded by the literal understanding of the Buddha's teachings. Whereas the Buddha wanted to free people, to free souls from being literal. So the teaching of the Buddha is about compassion, compassion for the souls of other people. And in the life you had as a Buddhist nun, you were much more concerned with your own spiritual purification and liberation than you were with others. It's interesting that you had an incarnation in the First World War in Italy, where you were a nurse and you had to deal a lot with people brought in from conflict and from war and from battle. And so that the heart was opened in that incarnation. And so that the second part of life, which should have been achieved by now, I'm sure it has been, is to open the heart in compassion to others. And the third line says, let's see, how am I going to put this? The third line says to make the rose to bloom. That's not a very good English construction, but it's the best way I can put it. To bring the rose to bloom. And the rose represents the expression of love within the heart. And so that this first half of your life, the first part of your life, is about creating compassion. And I've talked about that in the reading already. But the next part of your life is about bringing the power of love to blossom and to bloom. Now, I have no idea how much of our teachings that you have encountered over the years, but the rose is a symbol of Christ. And Christ is not just a cosmic being, but Christ dwells within the soul. Each of us has an aspect of Christ, an aspect of the divine within the soul. And the purpose of each incarnation is to more and more grow that inner divinity and allow it to take charge of life. And in some ways, this is a retreat, because our normal understanding of what life is about, we have to let go. Our normal understanding is symbolized by the figure of John the Baptist in the Bible. John the Baptist said himself, "I must decrease." That is the old understanding, the old way of looking at life. That has to decrease, it has to fade away, so that he, that is Christ, that is the power, may increase. You can't have both. You have to make a decision, one way or another. Now, your decision point is not coming for another 20 years, or another 10 years at least, hopefully. Because this is the chance for you as a soul to experience the inner rose, start to come into bloom from a bud, start to blossom, and start to emit a power that first of all changes you, changes the way that you think, changes the way that you look at the world. And because it changes all these aspects of you, it infuses your whole aura with a new light. And it's the light, the new light, that people cannot help but be touched by and illuminated by when they come into contact with you. And if you allow this process to happen over the next 7 years, 7 to 9 years, then you will travel smoothly through this transition phase. You'll let go of past energies and conflicts and attachments, and because you release them in love, you will emerge into the greater power of the transforming energy that is Christ working in the world. And the more you become part of this new energy, which is the energy of human evolution, where every human soul is being asked to go, and where so few at the moment can go, if you take this journey on, set one foot in front of the other, little steps at first, just bit by bit, and you ask the question, always, who am I? In reality, who am I? Then you will light up not only your own life, but also the life of those around you. First of all, your family, your partner, your co-workers. And then, as you continue down the path, you will become a light within the world. The world has few lights, because most of the world is never reached the reality of self. So walk this path, be the light, and that will be a great deed in this incarnation, so shall it be.